anyone with even some concentration, doesn't have to be perfect concentration, can see that constant movement. Anyone can. And if we don't then have a resolve from that, if we don't use that seeing of the constant movement for our own insight, then we haven't seen it properly. So we have to look again. The knowledge, the desire for deliverance needs to be seen when we become dissatisfied with everything, that it may last a little while or longer. We need to use determination. The kind of mind which has willpower in it is not a mind that will overpower. Willpower just means that we use our strength of mind in one direction, and hopefully in the right direction. Now with that desire for deliverance, which contains terror, danger, and urgency, disenchantment, which contains terror, danger, and urgency, and the desire for deliverance comes as an adjunct to this desire for deliverance, reflection. And what we do at that time is reflect and review any of the insights that we may have had by then. In other words, we again check up on anicca, dukkha, anatta, whether we can see it in ourselves and everything around us. Now we can use one of them or all three. Every one of them has a different doorway through which we can go in order to see absolute truths. Anicca has a doorway which is called the doorway of signlessness. Dukkha, wishlessness, anatta, void. Signlessness. It means that if you look at the arising and ceasing again and again, we will see that nothing ever stays long enough to have a mode of existence which is solid, which can be used for hanging on to it, for attachment, and which has ultimate significance. Now obviously for a jhana meditator this is greatly facilitated, because one sees exactly that in the seventh jhana. But having seen it in the seventh jhana, we also have to refer to it and understand the experience. It's no use just having the seventh jhana, we have to understand the experience. So whether we have it or not, the experience of the constant arising and ceasing of everything, constant movement, and it's so fast, we can hardly keep up with it in watching it, brings about that understanding that within that impermanence, nothing can be grasped, held onto, kept, made significant. wonderful feeling of ease, wonderful feeling of lack of burden. What is there that can oppress us? It's all moving. Now with dukkha, we probably by this time have already noticed that whenever we want something, we've got dukkha. That the only time that we haven't got it, are not aware of it, got it, we haven't got aware of it, is when we're not wanting anything. Which is particularly strong in the third jhana, because that is a time when the mind is quite contented, experiences contentment, and therefore no dukkha. Having known that in the third jhana, we realize we can make the connection. If we can't make the connections, we can't really see the thing. We can make the connection that because in the third jhana there's wishlessness, there is contentment. When there is wishlessness, there is no dukkha, there's contentment. So know the pathway when we come to absolute truth. So the understanding of dukkha means that we understand and actually practice being without wishes. Seeing things as they are, accepting them as they are, and being with them as they are, not trying to have it different. That constant wish to have it different is the constant irritation. That's real dukkha. The more we want things to be different from what they are, the more dukkha we've got. Whether we do it on purpose, deliberately, wanting, wishing, or whether it's just a mental formation which arises and ceases, of course, doesn't make any difference. The more we want things different from the way they are, the more dukkha we've got. And checking up on anatta, that, of course, takes more of an insight into the reality of the lack of substance, which should have been something we could see in the elements, which we could see in the constant movement. Because whatever moves all the time cannot possibly have a core substance. And the word void means just that. It means no core substance. So anatta does not only show us that there is no real self to be found, but it shows us that there is no core substance. Now this desire for deliverance carries with it the dissatisfaction which we need to overcome, and carries with it the renewed reflection. And this time, the reflection on the three characteristics with one of their doorways. If we can't see the constant movement of everything, we won't see the constant dukkha. And if we can't see the constant dukkha, we won't see the anatta either. Somewhere along the line, we've got to see what it really is. Often, the mind resists. For no reason that one can perceive, it just resists because it's too full of other things. Well, we try again another time. If the mind is open, it can see it clearly. Nothing remains. All is gone. Whatever we have ever experienced, known, felt, thought, seen, heard, tasted, touched. It's all gone. And it was gone the moment it arose. The dissolution of everything that arises is so fast that we can hardly keep pace with it. It's so quick. Maybe that's enough for tonight. If you have any questions, this is a time to ask them. You should ask questions, as you know. It's a sign of intelligence, not a sign of stupidity. Yes.
So let me see if I got the steps correct. Starting with arising and ceasing, then comes dissolution.
Right.
And then what the dissolution is, unsatisfactoriness?
Well, sometimes the terror, huh?
And the terror.
First the terror and then the danger.
And then
everything is unsatisfactory, yes.
Right. So those, the terror, the danger, and the unsatisfactoriness come basically together. And then disenchantment, and then the desire for deliverance. Does the terror abate with the disenchantment?
Oh, yes. The terror is, for jhana meditators, doesn't exist.
Where does the dissatisfaction disappear, or does it? Or?
When we see that comes in the desire for deliverance, that's when the person is very dissatisfied. The desire for deliverance, with this dissatisfaction that's in there, I'm not satisfied with what there is because I've seen that, I've got to get out of it, right? That comes through that next step, the reflection on anicca, dukkha, anatta disappears, because you can't have your mind on both things. You can either have it on being dissatisfied or you can have it on anicca, dukkha, anatta.
So basically the reflection that comes from the desire for deliverance counteracts the dissatisfaction.
Yeah.
And then the final point is like, how do you get into the third jhana?
Well, through the second, because the joy that arises in the second, right, that is then a moment of wishlessness, because this is what everybody wants. They want to be happy,
right?
So you've got it. So what else is there to wish for?
Okay, so the, seems like the dissatisfaction is all-pervading except for the jhanas?
That's right. The dissatisfaction in the jhanas comes about at the moment when they're finished.
So actually being that absorbed blocks dissatisfaction from...
That's why it's also no terror.
Right.
Why we don't get any terror from seeing this dissolution. But at the moment when the jhanas are finished, then... dissatisfaction. Also not the end. What is there?
Right.
But first you've got to have them in order to be dissatisfied with them. Right? Yeah.
Then ultimately the jhanas don't exist. Either of them. I mean, they were kind of a mind moment just like everything else.
Sure.
At that point there's...
Everything a mind moment. A fiction?
Well,
that
mean,
word does not apply.
Well, okay, but I mean that they were on the path, but then they don't exist in the end. There's this anatta.
No. They are not ultimate reality, but they certainly are mind moments. The everything that comes also goes. But fiction? No. Fiction is fantasy. That doesn't apply. If you give them ultimate reality, that's a fiction, yes.
Okay.
But
so
they themselves are not fiction.
Okay. On the mundane plane, they're reality. Like, okay,
but not ultimate.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, anything else? Yes.
When you say in the world that everything dukkha pervasive, you're still acknowledging that in the world there's both pleasure and pain, of course. But the dukkha...
Well, pain is dukkha anyway.
Yeah, but isn't that sort of different? Like I'm talking about... I guess what I'm talking about is the presence of both painful... I'm sorry, I don't know this framework very well. The first sense, the sense contact?
Yeah.
Okay. There's pleasurable sense contacts in the world.
Painful and pleasurable feelings.
Painful and pleasurable feelings.
Okay.
But the dukkha is something else. The dukkha is in our relationship to that pleasure and pain.
Yes. You could say it quite simply. You can say the dukkha exists because the pleasurable feeling is also not going to stay with you.
Yeah.
It's also going to disappear.
Right. But the two are there.
Yes. They are in a relative reality. They exist, certainly. In the ultimate reality, none of that is. In the ultimate reality, then none of this is of any consequence. But they certainly exist, yes. But the dukkha is seen because the pleasurable feeling can also not remain with you.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that's pleasurable disappears. Everything that's dukkha, well, that's painful, we're quite happy when that disappears. But the pleasure also disappears. So ultimately, you can't find complete fulfillment. And most people, I mean, I would say, no, not just most, everybody who looks for a spiritual path are aware of that, whether they are consciously or subconsciously aware of it. They are aware of the fact that they haven't found the things in the world that will give them ultimate satisfaction. Now, sometimes these people think it's their own stupidity that they haven't found it. And sometimes they think it's the stupidity of their parents that they haven't found it. And sometimes they think it's the nastiness of their partners that they haven't found it. But in reality, what it really boils down to is that they've seen it can't be found. And so whatever they think, it doesn't matter. At least they come to the spiritual path. You know, even if they think that it's somebody else that hasn't done the right thing. And that just can't be found there. And even in the nicest thing, there's always this, there's some other dukkha in it also. I have mentioned that once, but I mention it now because it fits in here very well. Not only that the pleasurable feeling also disappears, but because we haven't yet seen this disenchantment, we are keen on keeping it. We're trying to hang on to it. And that in itself is already dukkha, because we're trying to get something, hang on to this, which we can't actually do. And so we're already in a bind. We've got already pressure. Already pressure upon us, putting pressure upon ourselves, that we want to keep this feeling. And then we see that it's not there anymore, so immediately we put pressure on ourselves to get it again. So if that isn't dukkha, I don't know what else is. Plenty of dukkha. All the time. So dukkha certainly in this context no longer means suffering. I mean, it is, means that too, but it doesn't mean that in the investigation into reality, into absolute reality. It doesn't mean that. Anything else? Please put the attention on the breath for just a few moments. imagine that you have a beautiful, soft, white blanket wrapped all around you, keeping you warm, protected, safe, and cared for. Feel that within yourself. How you yourself can bring about these feelings. And now give this beautiful blanket as a gift to the person sitting next to you. Wrap him or her in the beautiful white soft blanket, making that person feel safe and protected, loved and cared for. Make the blanket large enough to wrap everybody in it who is present here, giving everyone the sense of safety, security, protection, love and care, feeling warm and snug and softly touched by your beautiful white blanket. Now think of your parents, whether they're still alive or not, and give them the gift of the beautiful white soft blanket. Wrap them in it, cover them with your care, your protection, your love. Think of those people who are closest to you. Give them the gift of the beautiful white blanket with which you can show them your love and your care, your protection, making them feel safe and at ease. And now let the beautiful white soft blanket wrap around all your friends, letting them experience your care, your love. Making them feel safe and protected, at ease. And now make the beautiful blanket large enough to wrap around all the people whom you meet in your daily lives, giving each of them your love, your care. A feeling of being safe. Think of anyone whom you find difficult and give that person the gift of the beautiful soft white blanket too, giving warmth and care, wrapping it around that person to show your love. Think of all the people who are present in this place. Make the beautiful white soft blanket large enough to embrace all of them with it, bringing them warmth, protection, care, and love, letting them feel your friendship. Think of all the people whose lives are far more difficult than ours. In hospital, in prison, in refugee camps, crippled, blind, hungry, without friends or shelter. Multiply the beautiful, white, soft blanket as many times as you can to give to each of these people, as many as you can think and conjure up, wrapping each one in the softness and warmth and care and love. Making them feel at ease. Now wrap the beautiful, soft, white blanket around yourself again. Feeling contented. About having given your love to others. Feeling warm and protected. Loved and cared for. May all beings protect each other.